This is Jay Sekulow, the National Security Council Director, in hot water over the issue of contact with Russia.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A senior White House official telling CNN the knives are out, talking about President Trump's embattled National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. White House officials no longer believing Flynn's claim that he did not discuss sanctions with Russia before the administration took over.
Flynn's contacts with Russia before the inauguration were intercepted by U.S. intelligence agencies, and officials are comparing those accounts with Flynn's claims that the calls were just standard diplomacy.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The White House did not give you anything to say other
they
than
did
that.
They did not give me anything to say.
You cannot say whether or not the president still has confidence in his national security advisor.
It's not for me to tell you what's in the president's mind. That's a question for the president. Well, it's a question for our chief of staff. Asked and answered.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a good weekend. Let me tell you what we are looking at front and center today, and that is controversy over contact between Mike Flynn. General Flynn, of course, is the National Security Advisor to the President. Contact with Russia. General Flynn initially denied that he discussed the issue of sanctions with the Russians. This was before General Flynn was in office, before the Trump administration was sworn in. Vice President Mike Pence defended him publicly, saying that General Flynn said he did not make the statement. There are now reports that have been issued that conversations between the National Security Advisor, the Director of the National Security Council, that is Mike Flynn, had conversations with the Russians and, in fact, did discuss the issue of sanctions. That would be a technical violation of what's called the Logan Act. 18 U.S.C. Section 953 prohibits any citizen of the United States without authority of the United States to directly or indirectly commence or carry on correspondence with a foreign government with the intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government. Now, this took place the very day that President Obama's administration increased the sanctions on Russia. Let me say something here at the outset. This is very serious. It's serious because Russia is a serious threat right now to the United States. President Trump is trying to do a reset with Russia to evaluate exactly where we stand with the Russians right now. He's talked about utilizing their assistance when it comes, for instance, to ISIS. That's all well and good, and that may be the right policy moving forward. The problem is you have at least now an issue with the National Security Advisor. And let me play this for you, folks. The Vice President, Mike Pence, went out on air to defend, and this is very significant, Mike Pence went out and defended General Flynn from these comments. Take a listen.
They ever have a conversation about sanctions ever on those days or any other day?
That they did not have a discussion contemporaneous with U.S. action.
But what about ever?
My conversation with General Flynn. What I can confirm, having spoken to him about it, is that those conversations that happened to occur around the time that the United States took action to expel diplomats had nothing whatsoever to do with those sanctions.
So this presents the difficulty here. If it did have to do with sanctions, it may be a technical violation of the act. We'll be joined by our military advisors, including head of our international law group, Skip Ash, and then Colonel Wes Smith as well, to discuss this. Colonel Smith knows Mike Flynn, so we'll be able to give you some analysis on this. We're also taking your calls and comments on a complex issue, but one that goes to the heart of our foreign policy. Logan wanted me to explain it very carefully to everybody. I'll do that again coming back up.
Right. We
will take
calls. Is there proof? Well, it's admitted at this point, right?
Yes. So apparently either the FBI or NSA, somebody, we monitor these calls. So yes, it has been, at this point,
confirmed.
It has been admitted. So then the question is, and I'll ask this to our audience, what do you do when you have this admitted? And that's, I think, some of the questions coming in.
Yeah, I think a lot of the comments are coming in already this way. And you can get your comments in also at facebook.com/JaySekulow or Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. You also give us a call. We want your comments on this, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people are saying, though they like him, seems like it would be time for him to resign. So
well,
those are the questions that are coming in.
The president makes the call. The director can, in fact, resign himself. That may be what happens here. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think should happen? Back with more in a moment.
A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. The president has the constitutional and statutory authority to place restrictions on immigration when it would be, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. The executive order clearly, properly, and constitutionally protects America. As the Trump administration deliberates its next legal move, the American Center for Law and Justice is ready. Our government affairs office is working around the clock on Capitol Hill. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the president's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so Logan said I need to reset each time we go to this topic because it's complicated for everybody exactly what we're talking about.
It's
the headline
new.
Is, yeah. Go ahead.
It's new also.
Yeah, so this just broke on Friday after we were off the air. The issue is Mike Flynn, General Flynn, is the head director of the National Security Council. He's the NSA direct senior advisor to the president. And the fact is, the White House is now, these are reports that are coming out, is reviewing whether to retain National Security Advisor Mike Flynn amid the furor over his contacts with Russia. Now, the contacts with Russia took place on December 29th. And let me get Wes Smith in to set the facts here. Wes, you've been looking at this. By the way, Wes, Colonel Wes Smith is our senior military analyst. Also joining us is Skip Ash, who's a senior counsel at the ACLJ, also a colonel of the United States Army, and heads up our international law group. Let's get the facts of this first. And by the way, Mike Flynn is very well respected in a lot of circles, and his deputy, KT McFarland, as I said, is a friend of ours. So I want to be clear here that this is nothing aimed personally, but this is an issue that is now front and center, and it involves Russia. And because it involves Russia, that makes it serious. Let's set the time frame, Wes, of what happened here.
On December the 29th, the outgoing Obama administration placed new sanctions against Russia. And on that same day, Mike Flynn made a phone call to the Russian ambassador. And so whenever this was leaked out, the question was at the time, you know, did he discuss the sanctions that had just come out that day from President Obama? And he said he did not discuss that with the Russians and that he had made only one phone call. But then what has happened in the last week, the intelligence agencies of our nation routinely monitor all phone calls to foreign powers, especially places like Russia and China, and they had a transcript of the phone call, and it came out that General Flynn had talked about the sanctions and that it was not one phone call, it was more than one.
Did it say what did the conversation, because I'm the lawyer here, so I asked the question, did the conversation about sanctions focus, and do we know this, on substantive discussions about sanctions other than just saying, hey, I know additional sanctions came in, we're going to be looking at that with the new administration. Do we know what was actually said?
No, we do not know. And in the meantime, though, Vice President Pence went out on a limb for the general and defended him, said he did not discuss sanctions, and it has come out that he did.
So here's, if I'm the defense lawyer for Mike Flynn here for a moment, Skip, I'm going to say, no, wait a minute. They're reporting that conversation took place, and obviously this is a trust factor for the president here. This is the president's call. But a conversation that's saying sanctions came up could mean, yes, we're aware that sanctions have been imposed by the administration today. That would just be a statement of fact. That doesn't say we're negotiating them. So there could be a difference there.
Oh, that's absolutely right. If that's the nature of the conversation, then there's no violation of the Logan Act, because they were one of the purposes of the phone call was to set up a way of contacting the president of Russia after President Trump assumed office. But so if that that came up in the conversation, as you described, there is no violation of the Logan Act.
Well, now, here's what he's saying, though. I mean, first there was one conversation reported. Now it's then there were multiple. And at least the Wall Street Journal is reporting that General Flynn now concedes that he did discuss the sanctions with the after transcript of phone calls showed as much.
Right. But we don't know who brought it up. Did he respond to questions from the Russian ambassador about sanctions? The other thing that I question.
But this all raises. Raises a legal. I mean, we're getting into the legalities. Could I mount a defense possibly for General Flynn? Maybe I can. But that's really not what the standard is. The standard is: does President Trump have confidence in General Flynn? That's really the question.
Right. And another question, and this question will not be answered. And that is, did President-elect Trump ask him to call the Russians?
Well, it wouldn't be unusual for the president-elect, as his team is assembled before he comes in, Skip, it wouldn't be unusual to say, contact these officials and let them know we look forward to working with them. That's kind of normally what you do. The question is going to be, that went from that to a discussion of the sanctions. By the way, Nancy Pelosi allegedly violated the Logan Act as well, correct? Skip?
Oh, that's correct. In 2007, she went over and negotiated with the president of Syria. Reverend Jesse Jackson did the same thing during the Reagan administration, going over to free a U.S. pilot who had been captured by Syria, all without the sanction of the U.S. government and therefore in violation of the Logan Act.
And since the act was enacted in 1799, Jay, no one has ever been prosecuted under this statute.
I don't think Mike Flynn's going to be prosecuted here. I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, how does the president view this? What's the trust level? What are we hearing online? And then we're going to get some calls at 1-800-684-3110.
People are asking, do we need to know exactly what was said? Is that what's important in this situation?
Well, I think it is. I mean, the problem here is the lack of trust. We played it at the beginning of the broadcast, and that is he said he did not have those conversations, and then he did. What's interesting is, as Skip just mentioned, Nancy Pelosi, if you want to talk about technical violation of the law, did exactly that. But the fact is, she didn't say she didn't. So this is not so much the legal issue. Go ahead, Lauren.
Right, that's what Deb even said. So to prove the Logan Act conversation, we'd have to know what the conversation was.
You'd have to know the intent of it. However, because the statute requires intent, Skip, they do know what was said. Our security forces know what was said in that conversation.
I'm sure they know most of it. I mean, every once in a while, even the best systems will have a phrase that they can't determine. But I'm sure they know what the conversation was. But I'm sure also for the fact that these are done by certain types of means and measures of obtaining this information, that they're not going to let that out normally without the president saying so.
Yeah.
Correct.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Belinda in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, Belinda, you're on the air.
Hi. Yep. I'm thinking that Trump needs to know when to hold him and when to fold him. So in this instance, you know, can he just let Flynn go to trial, and if he goes to trial?
Well, he hasn't been. I want to be clear here. General Flynn has not been charged with a crime. The act that would be involved is the Logan Act, but he's not charged with the crime. Here's the problem. Let me play. This is what CBS. I want you to stay on the line here, Brenda. This is what CBS News is reporting. This is number three. The problem is the contacts and not saying you had them. Here we go.
Flynn's contacts with Russia before the inauguration were intercepted by U.S. intelligence agencies, and officials are comparing those accounts with Flynn's claims that the calls were just standard diplomacy.
So that is precisely the legal issue that there. Was this a standard diplomacy, or was this, in fact, substantive discussions? The fact that sanctions came up may not have been a violation of the law here, Wes. That they came up. The question is, was it a policy discussion and what the intent is? The question now, though, is, and it takes it a step further, is, and this is the problem for General Flynn, is there a lack of confidence in the administration?
Correct. Yeah, the real question is not the legality of it. I don't expect that he'll be charged under the Logan Act. But if he has lost the confidence of Vice President Pence and or President Trump, you can't really serve in that kind of a sensitive position without your boss trusting in you.
Let's do this. I want to hear from you all. We speak to millions of you every day, so this is a good time for you to engage us. Tell us what you think should happen. Where do you think this should go? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to get a sense from you how you view this national security matter. There's thousands of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, millions watching on radio. And I think that we want to hear what you have to say about this. Again, 1-800-684-3110. You want to take a call, Logan, or take a comment?
A lot of people are asking, what is the Logan Act?
Okay, let me read it.
I'm not involved.
It has nothing to do with Logan Sekulow. 18 U.S.C. Code Section 953 states that any citizen of the United States, wherever he may be, without authority of the United States, directly or indirectly commences or carry on correspondence with a foreign government or any officer or agent thereof with the intent to influence the measures or conduct of any foreign government or of any officer or agent in relation to any disputes or controversies with the United States or to defeat measures of the United States shall be fined under this title. So let's break this down. You have to have the intent to influence the conduct of a government, and that would be the issue would come up here as sanction, and it has to be in relations in a dispute or controversy with the United States. So, Skip, I mean, that's a pretty clear legal standard and a difficult legal standard to bring a case on what the intent was, even if, in fact, it came up.
Well, that you're exactly right. But in addition to that, because the content of the conversation was gotten by means of intelligence, that makes it even more complicated because it's more difficult to bring that type of information into a trial because intelligence agencies will tend to want to keep that close to their chest so that they don't really reveal how they've obtained this information because once you reveal how you've obtained it, the other side can then begin to counter that.
Yeah, so I think that the fact is, I think we have to realize that this is not a legal question, folks. This is a political question. All right, we're going to take more of your calls and comments. We come back from the break. Obviously, this is big news because—and we'll discuss what the office does. I mean, he's the senior advisor to the president on national security. I mean, it's a big deal. KT McFarland's his deputy, as I said, who's been on this broadcast in her private capacity many, many times. We do have out today a— email on our work at the United Nations today on the issue of genocide. And that is coming up. And our written statement has been submitted to the UN's Human Rights Council at the General Assembly. That has been filed today. We've got work going on there. We submitted written and oral testimony to the Council requesting the United Nations join other international bodies and publicly proclaim that Christians and other religious minorities in Iraq and Syria are victims of genocide at the hands of ISIS. That's a very important designation. Kind of dovetails into the whole issue of the executive order on immigration. That we expect a new one tomorrow is what I think is going to happen. That's what we've suggested. We come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're not getting our emails, you should get them. All right?
Absolutely. We'll be right back. It continues on Facebook and social media. Don't go anywhere.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. The president has the constitutional and statutory authority to place restrictions on immigration when it would be, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. The executive order clearly, properly, and constitutionally protects America. As the Trump administration deliberates its next legal move, the American Center for Law and Justice is ready. Our government affairs office is working around the clock on Capitol Hill. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the president's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. General Flynn is a retired three-star lieutenant general, is the national security advisor to the president. Last active duty assignment was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. R. Wes Smith actually went over to the Defense Intelligence Agency. You were a colonel in the United States Army and spoke with General Flynn's staff. You said he's a... Talk about him personally. Yeah. I want everybody to know this is not a personal attack, but there's an issue here because General Flynn, as the issue's been raised, whether he was truthful in the discussions that he had with the Russians. And with the Russians, you better be truthful when you're talking to our security apparatus because it's being monitored. And evidently it was, and he's now had to correct it. But there is a firestorm brewing in Washington, D.C. right now. And a double standard, I will say, but a firestorm.
Exactly. Yeah, General Flynn sent me a personal invitation when I was stationed at the Pentagon to come over and speak to his staff at the Defense Intelligence Agency. I knew members of his staff quite well. I knew that they thought the world of him, that the morale was high.
Yeah.
They saw him as a guy who we say in the military is tough but fair.
Yeah.
He was tough but fair. And so in my interactions with him that day, he was a gentleman and a gracious host. But more importantly, his staff talked to me about him. He is known to be a straight shooter and known to be a man of integrity, truly.
So, Logan, there's an interesting comment on Facebook right now, and I think this is the real question, becomes a question of judgment. I don't think they could prove that General Flynn violated intentionally the Logan Act. I read that to everybody. It's a three levels of intent there.
Right.
But the question that Gene's asking is the question.
Yeah, Gene on Facebook said, wouldn't he know this would come out eventually?
And the answer to that has to be, Skip, yes, that we monitor conversations with the Russian ambassador.
Yeah, well, obviously people in the administration would find out about it. Whether the public would or not was a different issue. But therefore, he had no reason or should not have lied to the vice president because the vice president would have access to those things.
Yeah. All right. Let's. Is this Senator Cardin's comment? Yeah, let's play this. Senator Cardin.
I think what General Flynn did with the vice president, misleading him or giving him wrong information, that's not the type of person you want to have around you giving you advice.
This is the problem, I think. And again, I think there's a double standard applied here. But when Nancy Pelosi did it, when Jesse Jackson did it, they weren't hiding that they did it. They had direct. They said it. They went. Jimmy Carter's done it in his private post-presidency. They said it. There was no surprise here. Here, it's, you know, sometimes the cover-up is worse than the crime, and that's often the case, and that appears to be what this
might be. What's interesting is hearing people's response is not like typical when a president on your party has a sort of issue with somebody. Everyone's pretty much saying, if he did something like this, there needs to be repercussions. If the president and vice president can't trust him anymore, they need to do something about it. Well, so I think you're actually seeing that's another part of sort of the Trump era of you don't just support party, you don't just support president and their administration. You support who's going to best further your cause. And if this person may not be trustworthy anymore
General
to them,
Flynn, yeah.
you have to be, or any person, you have to be able to meet those actions. They expect a transparent situation.
Yeah, so I think that's his biggest issue, actually, is whether he has the backing of the administration. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to him.
I want to go to Walt, actually, in Lake Elizabeth, California. You're on the air, Walt.
Walt, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I would like to know how this information got out, and second, I find it hypocritical that the Democrats and liberals will overlook the skeletons in their own closet and look for the speck of dirt under the Republican couch.
Okay, well, how did it come out? Mike Flynn was asked questions, went on and made statements to the vice president. The vice president went out and defended him publicly by saying he only had one conversation with the Russians and it did not discuss sanctions. Mike Flynn, General Flynn, was then presented with evidence. Skip, I'm assuming it's by one of the security agencies, right?
I'm sure it is. And, they leaked it. I think that's the caller's concern, why are intelligence forces leaking this stuff?
Why do we even know about it?
Yeah, are we shocked? I'm not shocked at that. I mean, that happens. It's Washington that mostly leaks. And then the problem here seems to be that the vice president went on and defended it, Wes. He defended the position that there was no discussion about the sanctions, and then the transcripts from the conversations showed otherwise.
Right, showed that there were discussions about it and that there was more than one phone call. He had told Vice President Pence that it was one phone call on the 29th, and it came out there was more than one phone call.
So this, again, I don't think this is, I think it'd be very difficult to prove a Logan Act violation here. But the fact is, that doesn't answer the question of whether the individual is ready to serve. In fact, Alan Dershowitz was on MSNBC this morning. Here's what he said.
I just 1799, the Logan Act gets passed. In 1803, it's applied once in its history to some farmer who wrote an article. It's never, ever going to be applied. If it were, Jimmy Carter and Jesse Jackson would be sharing a jail cell.
So again, to the caller's point, yes, I mean, it's a double standard from a legal standpoint, but this is not the question of did General Flynn violate the Logan Act. The question is, was he forthright when confronted with information? Forget what he told the public to the Vice President of the United States. That is the fundamental question here. And you saw this weekend, and in fact, we could play this. I'd like to lay the evidence out for you, folks. This weekend, Stephen Miller, advisor to the president, was exactly asked about this issue. Does Mike Flynn have the respect and does he command the support of the president? Here's what he said.
The White House did not give you anything to say other
they
than
did not
that
give me,
on
They did not give
General
me
Flynn.
Anything to say.
You Chuck. Cannot, so you cannot say
Chuck,
asked, whether or
asked
not
asked an answer, Chuck.
The president still has confidence in his national security advisor.
It's not for me to tell you what's in the president's mind. That's a question for the president. Well, it's a question for our chief of staff. Asked an answer, Chuck.
Yeah, to me, that is not a ringing endorsement of where this is going.
No.
No. Go
ahead. It's really not. And part of the issue for President Trump is not just the trust issue. And this sounds a bit crazy and convoluted, but it's the appearance of the trust issue.
Yeah.
Even if President Trump wants to keep him on and really likes the guy. And the
I think
guy,
he does like him.
He does. And the guy is strategically important to his administration because of the appearance of broken trust with his vice president. He may have to reluctantly let him go.
So what's the calculus here, Skip, in your view as a military guy? What's the calculus you make here?
Well, two things. One is, again, this is a political issue, not a legal issue, because, as we've discussed, so it's a political issue on the part of the president. Can the president and the vice president trust that what the general says to them is honest at all times, and they'll always get an honest response? And if they can't, they need to let him go. The other calculation is that because this has come out, the Democrats, who have their knives out for every person within the Trump administration, will continue to pick on this into the foreseeable future unless the president comes right out and says, enough, I trust him, it's over, I'm not responding anymore.
Well, that would be if he did that, I think that ends the inquiry. Unless there's something criminal that we don't know here. And I think, again, it'd be very hard to prove a criminal inquiry. My question is looking at, as I said, we're going to be an honest broker in this, and looking at the evidence that's been laid out before us this weekend, I don't see a vigorous defense for General Flynn right now. I don't see it. Maybe it's there, but I do not see it. And when you don't see that, I think that's problematic. And I don't see it right now. What are we, Logan? We have time for a comment. We can't take a call. Or you want me to just?
This is Holly said. Do we know if Flynn was protecting some national security that cannot be revealed?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, we don't know what has not been released and probably should not be released is the content of the phone call. What we do know is there was a discussion of some type that mentioned sanctions. Whether it mentioned it in the context of making it illegal, that's a different story. But I coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to lay out for you how difficult of a case this would be to prove. But again, as Skip said, that doesn't answer the question here. The question is a question of presidential trust and confidence. If the confidence is shaken, then Michael Flynn is going to be gone. It's that simple. We've got out an email today talking about our significant work at the United Nations. At the Human Rights Council, which is not very good to be at the Human Rights Council, but we're there defending Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East subject to genocide. Your support makes a big difference. Go to ACLJ.org. Make sure you're getting our newsletters. And also sign that petition at ACLJ.org or call us as well. We encourage you to do that when we come back from the break.
A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the President's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So let me tell you what you've got. Washington is mostly scandals. That's what Washington, D.C. is. There's one brewing for the Trump administration right now. It is being fueled by the media, but it's an issue. And that is Mike Flynn, who is the director of the National Security, he's the National Security Advisor for the National Security Council. He is in a bit of a furor over the whole issue of a contact he had with Russian officials before President Trump took office. Mike Flynn had already been nominated as the director and senior advisor, national security advisor to the president. But the conversation was allegedly included conversations regarding Russian sanctions, which had just been imposed that day. Wes, let's go ahead and reset. Wes Smith is a retired colonel in the United States Army. He's one of our senior military advisors. You knew General Flynn. You know General Flynn.
Yes. He's a good man.
Yeah. So this is not to disparage him at all, but let's kind of set forward the facts of what happened here so people understand that.
Right. On December the 29th, President Obama levied new sanctions against Russia because of their misbehaviors in the world. And on that day, General Flynn called the Russian ambassador, their envoy in the United States, and had a conversation. Whenever this came out later on that he had done this, he said it was one phone call and that sanctions were not discussed because it was sort of, you know, curious that he called on the day the sanctions were released. And so he said one phone call, no discussion of sanctions. And then last week, some information was leaked from one of our intelligence agencies that it was actually more than one phone call and that sanctions were discussed. But in the meantime, he had told Vice President Pence that it was one phone call, no sanctions discussed. And Vice President Pence had gone out and been on television defending General Flynn.
Yeah, let me play that for everybody. Yeah. This to me is the crux of the problem. It's not the legal issue of was there a violation of what's called the Logan Act. It's Mike Pence defended General Flynn.
They ever have a conversation about sanctions ever on those days or any other day?
They did not have a discussion contemporaneous with U.S. action.
But what about ever?
My conversation with General Flynn. What I can confirm, having spoken to him about it, is that those conversations that happened to occur around the time that the United States took action to expel diplomats had nothing whatsoever to do with those sanctions.
And Skip, this is the real problem. It's not so much the issue there. It is, in fact, the whole way it's being perceived, and does the president have the confidence in Mike Flynn or not? If he doesn't, comes out and says, I support Mike Flynn, I think this is over.
I think you're right. The issue, though, is he definitely misled the vice president, who then went out publicly and made that statement. And therefore, I think there's going to be a little bit of an obstacle to overcome, at least with the vice president. And I think the president has to take that into account
because he's
using the vice president as such a, you know, his relationships with Congress and so forth.
Yep.
Right. I mean, Larry just said if he lied to the vice president, he made him look like a fool sticking up for him. How can you say, well, he definitely misled the vice president? Well, how can you continue to trust?
This is, I think this presents the real problem. Let's try to grab a call. Do we have time for a call? Minute 43?
Oh, why not? Let's go ahead. Let's go to Donna. She's been old a while.
Hey, Donna, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for all ACLJ does.
Thanks.
I just want to say General Flynn's dishonesty about the discussions and lying to the vice president really shows he can't be trusted and needs to resign or be replaced. I'm thinking, and what do you think about John Bolton as an alternative?
I mean, he'd be great. They're talking about another general as a possibility. KT McFarland's excellent as well. But you bring up a very interesting point, Donna, and this is something Logan said. As much as a lot of people that are listening to this broadcast support the president, they're not just giving the administration
a
pass.
Very few are just giving the administration a pass. Not like what you saw Bush years, definitely not what you saw in the Obama years with the supporters. You're seeing a different level of supporter, and I think that's because these people that voted for President Trump did not toe a party line. And because of that, they see, well, if the vice president can't trust him, he's misleading the vice president. Well, the answer is evident.
Yeah. So I think there you have it. All right. We come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. That's easy to do. ACLJ.org. And we've got our We Are Before the United Nations today on the issue of Christian genocide. We do not have a new executive order yet. I expect that to come possibly tomorrow on the immigration issue. So we'll be talking about that then. Again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be more on the situation. Again, folks, this is not an attack on General Flynn. We're giving you the legal and political analysis of exactly what's taking place. We told you we'd call it like we see it. This is how we're seeing it. We'll be back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. The president has the constitutional and statutory authority to place restrictions on immigration when it would be, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. The executive order clearly, properly, and constitutionally protects America. As the Trump administration deliberates its next legal move, the American Center for Law and Justice is ready. Our government affairs office is working around the clock on Capitol Hill. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the President's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've got a lot of calls we need to get to, but let me quickly set the stage. The White House is reportedly reviewing whether to retain National Security Advisor General Mike Flynn amid the concerns that he had contacts with Russia discussing sanctions before he was sworn in, as the president wasn't sworn in yet, nor was, of course, Mike Flynn confirmed yet. That would be a technical violation of what's called the Logan Act, 18 U.S.C. 953, which prohibits private citizens from engaging in these kind of conversations to influence national security. Now, there's three burdens of proof inside that statute, and I don't think the government can reach the burden. In other words, I don't think a criminal charge can be brought against General Flynn here. But that doesn't answer the question. The question is, does General Flynn have the confidence of the president now? And there was a tepid response, frankly, this weekend on the talk shows. But we need to go right to the phones. A lot of people have been holding.
All right, continuing on. Let's take some of these in order. Then we're going to take lots of them in this segment. Let's go to Tammy, who's been on hold quite a while in Reno, Nevada. You're on the air.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. I appreciate all that the ACLJ is doing.
Thanks.
And so thank you, guys.
Yep.
And anyway, I just was seeing these landmines,
yep,
and that Obama put in place at the very last hour of his administration, and that it's part of protecting his legacy. And he has unlimited backing and support with Soros's money.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm in support of General Flynn staying in place. You know, I just feel like this was a trap, you know, that was,
yeah,
set. And
well, we don't even have Tammy. And the truth is, we don't have the content of what was discussed in those conversations he had with the Russian ambassador. For instance, they may have brought up the issue of sanctions, but there may not have been a substantive conversation. But that is, see, Tammy, that's not the fundamental question. The fundamental question here is not whether General Flynn broke the law. I think that would be very hard to prove. The fundamental question that we have to ask ourselves here, Skip, is, does the president have confidence in his national security advisor? That is the question.
Right.
That's absolutely correct. The president is in a very stressful job. He needs to have information from key individuals that he can rely upon. And if he gets to the point that he has a member of his key team whom he thinks might not always tell him the truth, then that's a significant factor. And if that's the case with General Flynn, then the president would be fully justified in asking him to resign.
All right. So that's what you're saying. And I want to take now Scott's call because he's kind of saying the exact opposite. Not exact opposite, but let's go ahead and get Scott on the line, Logan.
Scott, Dallas, Texas, you're up.
Hey, Scott,
you're on.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm not the opposite. I'm pro Flynn. I think he's proven his loyalty to this country for a long time, and also to President Trump. His loyalty's there.
Let me ask you this, Scott. If the president decides tonight that the misstatement to Vice President Pence was so significant that it misled the vice president, and President Trump says, I'd like you to no longer serve as our national security advisor, would you support the president?
If that's his wish, yes, I would.
Okay, because fundamentally, Wes, that is what the decision is here. It's really up to the president. Has this, right. This is part of Article 2 of the Constitution. The president's commander-in-chief. He gets to make this call. You're serving at the pleasure of the president. This isn't a bureaucratic appointment. Mm-hmm. The question is, does the president have confidence in him in light of all the facts and circumstances?
Right, right. It is strictly the president's call. And you never want to, and when you're in a position like General Flynn is in, you don't ever want to triangulate yourself between the president and the vice president, especially
which
in this administration. Yes, where they have a very good relationship, yeah. And that's exactly what's happened. So he's in an unenviable position, General Flynn is. But the president does have a hard call to make.
All right, so Skip, how does he fix it? I mean, you know, we're lawyers, we like to fix things. So let's talk about how would you fix this if you were General Flynn? The best way to fix this, in my view, would be, if you wanted to keep General Flynn, is for the president of the United States, President Trump, to come out himself and say, I support Mike Flynn as my national security advisor, period. I think that ends the debate.
I think that would end the debate. But before he gets there, he's going to have to make peace and make with the vice president to say, right. Mr. Vice President, I made a mistake. It will never happen again. And you can count on me from this point forward. And then have the president say that. And then he's got his team back in place.
Yeah. I wonder what that conversation is like right now. I can imagine that's going on. Although we have the Prime Minister of Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau is here. So they're probably not addressing it right this moment. Let's go ahead, Logan, take another comment or call.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in Wells, Maine, on line 6.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Logan, Jay, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been thinking about this, and you know, every day I'm on Facebook, and there are so many people that, you know, 3 weeks into this administration, and they're complaining. There's some people that are working for his impeachment, and all this crazy stuff going on.
Yep.
I think anything like this that adds fuel to the fire. Any appearance, like somebody said on the show earlier, any appearance of a trust issue might be a good thing for the president to just say, you know, this is not personal against you, Mike Flynn, but I think you need to step down because of the way this appears, because we don't need to add fuel to the left fire.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying, Mike, Logan, is what you're seeing on social media right now.
Yeah, it's definitely corroborated online. I could tell you that's the majority of the people are saying that. There's a couple people that said, hey, Jay, you're jumping the gun. We need all the information.
Yeah, I'm not jumping the gun. I'm just kind
of
laying it out there.
It's the court of public opinion. You're right, Mike, and that people see this and say, okay, well, if the facts are, regardless of what they are, we know one thing is that Flynn
told the VP something
right.
else.
Mm-hmm. How can you really go back on that?
Well, you know, you could if the president came out and made the affirmative statement, but he let Stephen Miller go out. I think the fact that Stephen Miller did not defend Mike Flynn over the weekend shows Stephen Miller's a very articulate, very bright domestic policy, foreign policy advisor, senior advisor to the president, not saying something was significant.
And some people are asking, you know, can the president count him after a blatant lie, or do we even know if this is really? We don't really have all the facts.
We don't know the content. I mean, Skip, it's important here.
Do we know if this is a cover up of a cover up?
This is what you worry about, is that it's never the crime. So, you know, having the conversation with the Russians, it's all the after effect of that. That's the Watergate problem. Was the crime the big deal, or was it the after effect? And it's generally the after effect, because, Skip, one thing we don't know is the content of the exact conversation.
That's right, and that's critical to know, and I'm not sure we'll ever know that.
Probably
because
not.
That should be classified. But we have to keep in mind that it's also a problem perspective on General Flynn. If the Russian ambassador mentioned that, you know this, and he said, yes, I am aware of that, is that a conversation, or is that just an acknowledgement of something?
And that would not be a violation of the Logan Act, I would tell you that, not based on what the Logan Act says. I mean, it's not a crime here.
That's correct. But if he perceived it as, I just received that information, said, yes, I'm aware of that, and he moves on to what his purpose was, he may have very easily said, no, I didn't have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
And that might be a reasonable interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
And the president knows that. The president does have access to these transcripts.
Yes.
And he knows the context and the content of this conversation, and that should influence his decision. But on the other hand, I think it's interesting what Logan is sharing concerning our social media and what have you. It reflects probably where the president is, and that is people have great affection and regard for General Flynn, and yet at the same time, they're saying maybe he needs to go, and the president probably is in a similar situation.
This is not it's interesting because what Logan said, I think it's a fascinating thing here, is that it's not falling out the traditional partisan, this is my candidate, thus I'm backing him up. And the president's been he's spoken on this.
He's been a little silent on it, which is not something often from this president.
No.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Part of the mystery of it, too, I think, is that General Flynn was in the DIA as their director, and he is used to half-truths and subterfuge and lying because it's a necessary skill set in that in that job.
Not to the vice president.
But why? Yeah, that's the mystery. Why
well,
would you?
You know, it could have been an innocent. I mean, it could have been an innocent situation, maybe. The problem is it's snowballed. This is where lawyers, we try to get ahead of a problem. If I see a problem developing, I try to end it before it becomes a problem. Go ahead.
This is sort of the problems. Jessica said we should not have a shred of doubt in the people running our national security.
And well, that I think is the fundamental. I mean,
that's
Jessica,
why he got elected.
Jessica, that's right. A question of loyalty or confidence, Skip, has to go against the individual. If there's even a question on confidence in a national security advisor, you can't move forward on that.
Oh, that's exactly right. And I don't think President Trump would want somebody who was incompetent, although they were loyal. So I think, I don't think that's really going to be an issue. The issue, though, is can I depend on him when I need to depend on him to get the right answers?
Yeah, we're going to find that out. I suspect we're going to have this story is just brewing. By the way, it is Washington. She always take some of this with a grain of salt, but you can't take a grain of salt the fact that he spoke to the vice president. Do we have time to do one quick call here? Can we get one in?
You can try. Let's go to Jimmy in L.A.
Jimmy, you're on. Go.
Hello.
Yep. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Jay. I want to thank you for all you do.
Thanks.
And please support the ACLJ.
Thanks.
But I support General Flynn, and the Obama administration put these sanctions out there under false pretense. And I think General Flynn was trying to help the United States of America.
You may be right. And we don't know the context of what came up. Here is the problem, though. It's the statement to the vice president that the vice president then went and explained. That is the problem. It's not the conversation in and of itself, as far as we know. It's the explanation. So if the president loses confidence, Jimmy, in General Flynn, do you support the president?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I think this is the bottom line. As we go into the last segment, we'll grab all your calls. This is really, folks, why we have a constitution that says the commander-in-chief gets to make this call. I don't think there's a legal case against Mike Flynn here as far as a strictly meeting the criminal code. I don't see it. But there's a question of trust and a question of confidence. Does the president have confidence in his national security advisor? And as Logan said, and people are saying online, if he doesn't, if there's even a hint that he doesn't, then that person in that position should be dismissed. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. We have a line open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. The president has the constitutional and statutory authority to place restrictions on immigration when it would be, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. The executive order clearly, properly, and constitutionally protects America. As the Trump administration deliberates its next legal move, the American Center for Law and Justice is ready. Our government affairs office is working around the clock on Capitol Hill. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the president's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the Mike Flynn situation, waiting for the executive action. Will there be a new order? Maybe later today, maybe tomorrow. We will keep you posted on that. Our team at the ACLJ, actually our European Center for Law and Justice, is at the United Nations as we speak at the Human Rights Council, defending Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East to try to get that genocide designation. It's very, very important, and we're working on it. All right, share it with your friends on Facebook. Ready, audience? Here we go. We're going to hit all your questions in 8 minutes.
All right, let's go in order. Let's go to Deborah, who's calling from Akron, Ohio, on line four.
Deborah, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I like your group there, and I'm excited to listen to you at 12 here.
Thanks.
My point is, I think it's with everybody, is the lie. We don't know, you know, exactly what
yep.
the dialogue is all about. That's fine, but he lied. He did it once. He did it more than he said once. Then it was more than once.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine on that. But he lied to his superior, which is Mike.
Yeah,
okay?
The vice president. Yeah.
Exactly, and the fact that. He's with the security.
Yeah, I know. Look, I completely understand, Deborah. It's the NSA. It's important. The misstatement, or I'm not going to call it a lie, but the misstatement to the vice president, that's something hard to get over, Wes.
It really is. And the president is in a position, though, that knowing the content and the context of these phone calls to the Russians, I think that President Trump is a strong enough personality, if you will, that if he decides to keep General Flynn, he will keep him. On the other hand, Jay, if he asks for his resignation, General Flynn has been in a position where he has had to do this to subordinates too, and he will understand.
Let me say this also. I want to get Skip's comment on this really quickly. If the president decides to back General Flynn, in other words, they work it out with the vice president, I think it ends the conversation. I've said that, but I'll tell you this. I think the left will keep trying, but that will be hollow considering, if you want to talk about Logan Act violations, they violated it too. So I would build the defense. If the president were to move forward on this, you could build the defense. As a lawyer, you could build a defense for this. If the president decides to go forward, yeah.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. I think it's going to defend it from, everybody in the administration will say this is a non-issue. The president trusts General Flynn, and he will do his job. But you can count on the Democrats keep picking that scab for a while to see if it will resurface.
Of course, he hasn't said that. So that's the fact. As it right now, he's not said it. So that tells you a lot. All right, let's keep going, Logan.
All right. Again, continuing on, people have been holding the longest. Let's go to Whitney in Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Whitney, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for everything you do.
Sure.
Just a couple of quick observations as to why I think the trust issue is paramount.
Yep.
The first is that there seems to be a correlation between long-serving or perhaps high-up politicians, and then this eventual feeling that they're above the law.
Yeah.
So to have a preliminary policy step be a misstep, I just think people are really sensitive to that.
I understand. Mm-hmm. This was early on in the game here. The vice president came out early. I mean, the vice president was not even sworn into office when he defended General Flynn, correct? I'm sorry?
It was 5 days before the inauguration.
He was not even sworn in yet. And so he went out and defended him before he was sworn in about this conversation. So the conversation was already public, which tells you something else about your intelligence. But that tells you a lot right there. I mean, but that's the biggest hurdle here. The vice president went out on a limb. Go ahead.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Jackie in Dayton, Ohio.
Jackie, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you and your team for what you do. I'm just really upset over this because I support General Flynn big time. I'm so glad he was in there. And it just really disappoints me that he would do this with our vice president and the integrity of it. And I don't, my opinion, I don't believe he did anything outlandish to try to hurt
certainly
the
nothing. I said, Jackie, they can't bring a criminal case against Mike Flynn. I'll tell you where his repair has to take place. If it's going to be salvaged here, it's going to have to be between the vice president and Mike Flynn, and the president then satisfied that that relationship is restored and trustworthy, Wes?
Right. I think you're exactly right. I think President Trump is extremely loyal to all of his people, but he's especially loyal to his vice president. Yep. He has to be. And I think if Vice President Pence comes around and accepts General Flynn's apology and says this guy is too critical for what we do to let him go, I think then President Trump would do that, but it would be up to the vice president, I think, to make that happen.
So, Skip, one thing we're saying, Logan, we're saying this. We're seeing that most people that are listening to the broadcast right now, are watching the broadcast, are not convinced that what General Flynn did here is that forgivable. I mean, that's what we're saying, Logan, overwhelmingly?
Absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so Skip, that makes this, it really becomes the commander-in-chief having to make an affirmative statement for him to be retained.
That's absolutely right. People have to have confidence that the president is choosing the best people to give him advice, given the fact that he's a new president, he's not a politician, he needs the advice of people with certain expertise. He has to ensure that the people of the United States trust the people he puts in place.
All right, Logan, who's next?
All right, let's go to Sandy in Washington.
Hey, Sandy, go ahead.
Yes, the thing that bothers me is in Obama's term, we couldn't trust our own FBI. There was scandal there. We couldn't trust the Department of some of the heads of the Department of Justice. Can we trust this intelligence source that's saying they have calls on him?
Well, he said Mike Flynn's now come out and said that they had the calls and there were multiple discussions. I mean, this has morphed since then.
It has, but someone leaked this.
Yes.
And you're not supposed to leak this, especially in that line of work. And the one thing that we already know from people like Edward Snowden and others, and that is people in the intelligence industry, even
though
they have political opinions, many of them are strong Democrats or strong Republicans, and sometimes that comes through. And so it's really, really unfortunate that this was leaked from some agency.
Yeah, because this was as Wes said, this was a leak. I mean, leaks are not good.
You got to be prepped for that, though.
Yeah. They have to be prepared for that.
Sure. All right, let's go to Jody in Vegas. You're on the air, Jody.
Hey, Jody, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for all your tireless work for people imprisoned around the globe.
Sure.
Listen, he has to trust Mike Flynn. And I mean, can you honestly say you knew exactly what you did 3 weeks ago? No, you can't. I mean, and he's very loyal. The only thing is, Flynn had to know that this stuff was being recorded.
Yeah, that's the thing that it's so hard for me to figure out. Of course, a conversation you're having with the Russian ambassador is going, and you're about to be the incoming NSA head, National Security Council head. I mean, you don't see that as how would you not know? And that's why this was a real lapse of judgment at a minimum and maybe worse. It's not a good situation.
I'll take last call of the day. Let's go to Shelby. Newport
Shelby,
News,
you're it. You finished
Virginia.
The program up. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, thanks for hearing my call. With the standard that Trump is raising in D.C., and if he fails to live up to it, how can we go forth and trust him?
Well, this is the question because the president could be a forgiving guy, and Mike Pence could be a forgiving guy, and they respect Mike Flynn enough because of his knowledge to say we will get through this. But it is going to take, Wes, and I'll let Skip comment quickly, really quickly. It's going to take the president coming forward right now and Mike Pence as well.
Right. And in addition to that, Jay, the other thing that is a reality here is not just the broken trust with the president and the vice president for the public and for the administration's enemies, it's the appearance of broken trust.
Yeah.
That, in other words, maybe the President Trump trusts him, but we may not trust the president that trusts him.
Skip, what's your prediction of what happens here?
I think there's going to be, in the next day or so, there's going to probably be a request for him to resign.
Yeah. So there you have it. Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, also former United States Army colonel. There you have it. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our we got before the UN today on behalf of Christians and others being persecuted in the Middle East for that UN genocide designation. Very, very important. And a lot of ways for people to stay engaged with us, Logan, also as we close the broadcast out.
That's right. You can always find us on social media and at ACLJ.org. You can also get the ACLJ app, the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. However you do media, you can find the ACLJ and the Jay Sekulow Live show right there.
Last Monday in the studio.
Last Monday. Probably the last Tuesday. We're just going to count down.
Count down to the new studio.
For you guys listening on radio, nothing will change.
All right.
A federal appeals court decision blocking the implementation of President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is disappointing and puts our nation in grave danger. Our extensive legal team is working to prepare briefs at every stage to defend the Constitution and the President's ability to defend our national security. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.